Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize
when we ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching, and go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we won't be doing that for you. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Another Monday.
Another Monday.
I'm just still recovering from all the whoopings I took last week.
From Alan.
I think there's been a peace amongst us. I think so. Eric kind of said
he did. Alan's son had to intervene and say, "You're being too hard on Craig."
Yeah. So I appreciate that.
And as this episode is being released, we are all in Walt Disney World. As a matter of fact,
that's right.
So
yes, all three of us finally.
Finally,
I finally made it there. Thank goodness.
Derek and I are probably taking a nap right now while you're enjoying the parts.
Yes, you know, it is what it is. I appreciate you guys being so noble and going down there. Guys, this is a milestone episode, episode 62.
In many ways, yes.
A major milestone.
62, which is a derivative of 22, correct?
Exactly, Taylor. What were you going to say, Derek?
He just cuts you off right there when you're...
Well, you know, he's so eager.
I got excited.
So eager to get to the Taylor Swift reference.
Anytime.
Anytime he can. Also...
It's a huge milestone.
It is huge. As you said, for a number of reasons. Today, guys, the Grim Grinning Guys, go west out to Disneyland in Anaheim, California.
Go west, young man.
Yes. And we're not actually there, but we're... Sort of going out there, Chris.
Yes, we're going to get more knowledge from Disney. I've never been there. That's my plan in a couple of years. You guys both have been there.
Yes.
But it'd be nice if we knew somebody that actually was there.
And that is where episode 62 today takes shape as we interview and have our first segment with our Disneyland correspondent. Craig, before we introduce her, why don't you tell us how we initially got to know this lady.
This lady follows us on...
You know, she's got a name.
I don't want to give it away yet.
Oh, okay.
She follows us on Instagram, and back on February the 11th, this...
A date up, that will live in infamy.
It popped up with our logo, and on the logo it says, hilarious, opinions, self-awareness, knowledge?
With a question mark.
Yes. And here's her statement. She is Consumer Princess, and it says, hey, everyone... Please do me a favor and go listen to a few episodes of Grim Grinning Guys. It has my heart. This is mainly because it has a lot of infighting, information in quotation marks, and ranking systems that defy all logic.
Yes.
And yet, I couldn't agree more. Honestly, nothing has made me laugh as hard as the episodes ranking restaurants, many of which the cast has not, in caps, even been to. Three of the emojis crime. Loving it, guys. Keep it up. Hashtag Grim Grinning Guys, hashtag Disney Podcast, and hashtag Disney Planning. And we just thanked her for it. We're speechless.
We didn't know if it was a compliment or a slap in the face. We were really not sure.
It took us about a month to figure it out.
And I think that was actually the reaction when I told you guys, hey, have you seen this on Instagram? I said it, and they said, wait, is that a compliment?
Yes. And we do have the infighting, that's for sure.
Yes.
We do have a lack of logic. But today we welcome our Disneyland correspondent. She is the Instagram star, the consumer princess, Ms. Leah Evans. Leah, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
We are wonderful.
So
I didn't realize that you guys were in Walt Disney World right now. I missed that.
Well, we didn't go over that with you in the pre-show, but yes, we are there at the time of this release, at the time of the podcast being published.
Oh, very nice. How's the pool?
Well, you know, despite my best efforts, I haven't been able to get these guys into the pool yet, but we're still working on it. We still got a day left on the vacation.
Hopefully at some point I'll be able to offer up some really in-depth pool reviews of what we have out here in Disneyland. Maybe that'll help you in your future trip.
I'm sure that's what our listeners are most concerned about. So Leo, just out of curiosity, how did you happen to stumble upon our podcast? As Craig said and Derek said, we really appreciated the feedback that you gave us, whether it was a compliment or not, but it definitely made us laugh. How'd you find the Grim Grinning Guys?
Oh my gosh, I had forgotten that things you post on the internet, you know, they're around forever. So I cringe a little bit at that, but I was looking on just iTunes scrolling because I was heading out to Florida to see some family. I'm actually from Florida originally, and in January of 2018, I was headed back to Florida for a family trip and a Walt Disney World trip, and so I was starting to plan. And you know, I live here in California. I'm super close to Disneyland. I'm an annual pass holder, and so I'm there regularly. But it had been quite a while, I think almost 2 years, since I'd been back to Walt Disney World. And so I just felt like, you know, I kind of need some scoop. I need to know what's happening. So I decided on my commute to just kind of catch up with the news and views. And when I was scrolling through the podcast, I came across you guys. And I was like, oh, Haunted Mansion, that's my favorite. Guys telling me things about Walt Disney World. That sounds like fun. And so I decided to tune in. And I've been listening ever since. And this was in October of last year. So right after you guys started the pod. And I was just totally charmed. I don't know. You guys are delightful. I like that you don't take yourself so seriously. I think there's a lot of really serious coverage of everything that happens in the parks, and that's helpful from time to time, but I don't know, I think it kind of shares the magic a little extra just to give your perspectives on things.
So Leah, are you saying that our Grim Grinning Gossip, that you didn't take that for fact? I mean,
I thought that was our hard news segment.
Yeah, no, I could tell. There were a lot of, you know, breaking stories that you guys
yes.
went over.
Yeah, we do our best.
Especially that guy coming, you know, from Kansas, from Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, well, I did. Yeah. I had a Disneyland reference in there.
That's right.
A suitcase and a dream.
Yep. I think we need to put this down on a plaque that she said we had charm. That's never been said about us. So thank you, Leah.
Leah, you were talking to the Grim Grinning guys. We just want to make sure you know that.
Yes, you do know who you're talking to. It sounds like it was a little bit of fate that you happened to stumble upon us, but we're glad that you did, and we're certainly thankful for your support of the show. Give us a little bit about your background and how your love for Disney parks kind of came to be.
Oh, totally. So I'm actually from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. So I'm about, my hometown's about an hour from Orlando, hour and a half-ish, depending on traffic and weather, because there's plenty of that in Orlando. That's one thing we don't have in California. We have traffic. We don't have weather, so it's been a little bit of a change being out here. But when I was growing up, we would go to the Disney parks, usually like once a year for a birthday or so. And so I grew up in those parks, and it was pretty cool to grow up and see some of the changes going for, you know, birthdays and when family was in town from out of state and stuff like that. So we would go. My mom and dad both, you know, they weren't necessarily enthusiasts the way I would think of, you know, like, you know, all of us here in this good company are enthusiasts. But
right.
They were definitely positive on the parks, and we were exposed to movies early on. So as an adult, I kind of wanted to continue that, kind of wanted to continue the magic. So, yeah, we went pretty regularly. And then when I decided to go to university, I came out here to California, and I've been here ever since. So it's kind of funny. I've always been about an hour and a bit, depending on traffic, from a Disney park. And I kind of want to keep it that way forever, I think.
Huh. Living the dream.
That's right.
Close. Oh, California's a grind, but, you know, it's worth it to be so close to our cute little park. Yep.
And I don't know if you've heard, but I often describe Disneyland as just, to me, Walt Disney World is more magical, but Disneyland park is more intimate.
I agree with you. I think that Walt Disney World, I mean, it's beautiful, and it's kind of majestic and perfect, and you guys always talk about the Disney bubble on your show, and I think that that's so true. It's such a real part of a vacation at Walt Disney World. And the bubble is smaller at Disneyland, but it's very special. And I think because it grew up so organically, you know, you have these beautiful wide thoroughfares at Walt Disney World where you can just, you know, walk and see the scenery. All the sight lines are perfect. You can pretty much look in any direction, and it's like just absolute Disney perfection.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful where you look. you might see a big crane or a freeway or something. So it's not as perfect, but there is something really special about the fact that, you know, Walt Disney kind of grew up the idea of the Disney parks there. And there are just some special little corners and things that, you know, they certainly don't, they're not great for moving crowds, but they do kind of have this special little magic to them that I think sets it, it's just very different from Walt Disney World, in my opinion.
And that's why I'm so intrigued about going to Disneyland one of these days, is because that's where it all started. I mean, that's where Walt walked those streets, and Walt was a part of that. And that's what I really like. And like you said, Disney World, he got to sit and plan, and this is going to go here, this go here. But they just kind of grew up around Disneyland there, all the hotels, all the restaurants and those things. So Walt got to do what he wanted to do. But still, it's the original. It's where the concept was made. It's where the ideas all came from. So that's where I want to see it one of these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's something – I think when you go to Walt Disney World, I think everybody, well, most people, you know, all the grim grinning guys, from what I understand, you guys love to plan. And I like to plan too. And with Walt Disney World, you can really do that because you can take advantage of the Magic Band system, being able to book your fast passes online. You can really have a structure to your day. And Disneyland, you have to be a little bit more flexible because those rides are old and they break down. And things change really quickly, and you kind of have to be ready to just, you know, wander around and not be good enough for the day. There have been a lot of times, I am an annual pass holder, so it does kind of come from that particular perspective that I can be leisurely in the parks. But I do find that I'll come in and be like, you know what, I'm going to ride Indiana Jones, I'm going to go over to Matterhorn, and I'm going to go to Starbucks, and then that's going to be my bucket list for the day. And I find myself having to do completely different things, but there is something really charming about that. I don't know. It's just kind of fun to go with the flow. And that's not natural for me. Just my personality. I'm very much like you guys. I like to have things nailed down. So, but Disneyland's special, and it's really got a piece of my heart, but I have to say, there is something really beautiful about being able to book those three fast passes online. Woo, you have no idea how excited I was to do that this January. And you guys were so instrumental in helping me kind of with your ranking system.
Oh, yes.
You were instrumental. Yes. I mean, with those very strict rubrics that you set out.
It was
actually super helpful to me.
Well, we have tremendous insight. We have tremendous insight on a lot of these restaurants. even though we haven't been there, as you said.
And I think the hardest I've ever laughed at you guys, with you guys, obviously.
Yes,
when
yes.
When you were talking about Spice Road Table.
Yes.
And I think I was online, and I had just, you know, finalized some of the bookings that I really, really wanted. And I was thinking, like, oh, where else should we try and stop in? And I had actually read, I think, the Spice Road Table menu, and I was like, oh, that sounds not that exciting. And then you guys just ripped it.
Oh, well. Well, we're actually eating there tonight, as a matter of fact, on this Monday evening. We are eating there. Well, we decided to book a reservation there to try to prove ourselves wrong, since we'd never really given it a shot. So maybe it'll move up the list.
I'm hoping it doesn't.
So can you guys just talk about each of you individually? Like, if you were picking a restaurant, like, what's the most important thing? Is it, like, style points, or is it quantity of food, or is it atmosphere? So you guys each have to pick one.
For me, it's probably atmosphere and also the ease of the experience, which kind of goes with the atmosphere. I like something a little less chaotic, and it's just easier to do. That kind of plays more of a factor than the actual cuisine, because I feel like I can find good food anywhere. So that's me. What about you, Derek?
My highest priority. I shouldn't.
That's
my
obvious,
highest, but not always. Because in our last episode, the quick service episode had a quality. I'm more about quality.
Yes.
So I mean,
you are.
The best meal I've had at Disney World was at Cinderella's Royal Table, and I think it was because it was it's the highest quality meal I've had. But you ask somebody else, and they say it tastes like it was out of the freezer. So
you never know, Craig.
For me, I would love to say it's atmosphere, which I think it is, but it's really quantity.
Yours is quantity. Quality. Yes,
I mean it's about. I mean, Ohana's my favorite because they just keep bringing you food. So I mean, you know.
Yep. Craig is definitely the quantity guy.
I love it.
And Leah, I want to let don't let Craig fool you with all this. He wants to walk in Walt's footstep. He wants to go to Disneyland so he can ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride again. That's his only reason he wants to go.
That's it. I mean,
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is hilarious.
Brings back childhood memories.
It's great. It's very questionable whether or not it's appropriate for children. There seems to be mixed reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Very doubtful.
I also want to see Haunted Mansion where it's all decorated different seasons, because we don't get to experience that at Walt Disney World.
Before we go into that, just you guys got the overlay. You got our Jungle Cruise overlay last year.
Yes, we've had that.
Yes, for the third year?
Yeah, so the war has begun then.
Oh, no. We hope not.
You will always have It's a Small World.
That's true.
And y'all took the electrical parade from us.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that you just kind of even the score.
Not really, because I'd have given you electrical parade.
Oh.
No, it's funny about when you were mentioning the Haunted Mansion and our overlay. The Haunted Mansion is actually something that I think one of the reasons I love you guys' name, and I love that Haunted Mansion is kind of central to your podcast, is that I loved that ride when I was a little kid. It didn't scare me. I just thought it was kind of crazy and cool. And there was this video. I think it was like, I don't know if you guys were ever exposed to these or your kids, but it's like sing along with Disney songs. They were these old VHSs, and they would like sing Disney songs and then play video behind it. And sometimes it was at the park. And there was this particular segment, and they were singing Grim Grinning Ghosts. And there were like these trees, and Donald dressed up like a ghost, and they were singing outside of the Haunted Mansion. And I was always so confused by that as a child, because I didn't remember the Haunted Mansion looking like that at all. And I had no idea why my memory of the Haunted Mansion that I'd been to in Florida was so different than the one I saw on television. And I had no idea until I was, I think, just the first time I came to Disneyland, like, oh, they're different. I had no idea they were different. And so this particular one that I'd been seeing on this video for so many years as a kid, this was the one. So it kind of fulfilled this crazy childhood vision of mine to see our Haunted Mansion. But I do miss, this is something that we don't have that you guys do have at Walt Disney World, and we don't have the howling wolves outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that's not really a big thing, but it is.
But you all
a
do
a little bitter about it.
But you do have the Hatbox Ghost, which is much bigger
we
deal.
Do. I think I wrote it about a week after Hattie, as you so affectionately call it out here, was put up. Yes, when he was put up, and it's great. It's really good. I mean, it is the most impressive animatronic that we have, except for there's a new one in Pirates that we just got. It's not I'm sure that a lot of the listeners and you guys have heard that we recently had a little overhaul of our auction scene here in California. Did you guys hear about that?
Right. Yes. Something about that, yeah.
It's not hot take. I'm not that impressed. It's fine. But there is another secret little feature that I don't want to spoil for you guys, but it's a new animatronic that's really, really impressive that no one was expecting, and it's completely different than that scene. And other than that, though, that particular little secret, look it up online. No spoilers here.
Yeah, well,
hey, guys.
Y'all didn't hear this from me.
But
we didn't hear this.
They're changing. They're changing the Pirates scene.
Yeah.
Well, Leah, our plan is to have you on regularly to tell us about updates and things at Disneyland. Right now, tell us a little bit about Pixar Place. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I went on opening day. I'm
oh,
so
cool.
Glad you asked about that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was crazy, but not. I'm concerned for Star Wars Land coming up here soon, but that's a different discussion. it was. So there was like the pay preview, and I didn't go to that. And then there was media day, I believe. And then there was opening day, like open to the public. And it was on a Saturday, so only signature pass holders and pass signature and signature plus, and then actual tourist guests with a, you know, like a day pass were in the park. So it wasn't terribly crowded. And my friend Ashley and I, we got to the parking structure at, I think it was about 7 in the morning. And so there are actually a couple places to line up in DCA. You can line up over in Hollywood Land before they release that line area. There's one that goes directly from Buena Vista past Radiator Springs and then onto the pier. And then there's a very close direct route, and it's from over in our, like where Grizzly River Run and our wilderness area is. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to take our chances on that side of the park. And I'm so glad we did, because we were probably the first 150 so people onto the pier. And that was really special. It was really overcast that day, and so all the lights were on, you know, and I think you guys will probably agree that there's, I mean, Disney is beautiful in the daytime, but at night when all the lights are on Main Street, it's just extra special. So it was kind of that same experience on the pier. We went out and everything was kind of lit up and it was really special. And we actually were able to get a fast pass for the Incredicoaster.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which was really lucky. And it was for, I think it was for like 1 o'clock. So we had some time to kill. And we also had reservations that I had been able to score for Lamplight Lounge at about 2:45, I think it was. So we had some, you know, pillars in our day there to kind of move around. And the first thing I really wanted to do was I wanted to play the Midway games. I have never been totally sold on the Midway games that we've had. Let me just say this, just quick hot take for me.
Oh, good. We like hot takes.
Pixar Pier is great. But you know what? Anything would have been better than Paradise Pier.
Oh, yeah. You know, okay.
The bar is a little low. There were these Midway games, and they're pay to play. You load a little card with some money, and then you can play them to win a plush, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So before, they were, they just weren't appealing to me, to be honest with you. They were kind of just very typical sideshow or circus or carnival. They weren't, like, themed at all. Uh-huh. And so I was never into that. When we got there, one of them is, it's just Woody racing horses. There's another one that's like Heimlich, and you throw a beanbag and you can win like a Heimlich or something, and, you know, with the candy corn. And then there's another one that's Wally that's really beautiful. And it's like you're shooting the water, and Wally and Eve are flying through space, and you're trying to win a Wally. But then the last one, which is really just for your like OG Disney buff that loves some obscure Pixar.
Uh-huh.
And it was the La Luna short, which I can't for the life of me remember what movie that came in front of. Do any of you?
I think Craig's got that one,
no,
don't you, Craig?
I don't.
I do not.
No, we don't know that one either.
I'm deer in headlights over here.
No, okay, no worries. We rode Midway Mania, which I've ridden many times before, and, you know, it's always fun. And what happened after that? Oh, we decided to walk the rest of the pier that's not open yet. So there's some stuff on Pixar Pier that wasn't open for opening day, but it's coming soon. So we have Bing Bong's Candy Palace that's coming soon. And you can see the facade, but you can't go in yet. And it's, you know, it's all purple and there's a big Bing Bong. And I think it's going to be really cute. They've projected a lot of different treats, kind of like the confectionaries, but it looks like it goes even farther than that. So, and then they're taking down Bugs Land, I believe it's this summer, is the end of Bugs Land, which, good riddance, it's hot in there.
Now, Derek's a big fan of the choo-choo train, aren't
I
you,
love
Derek?
Heimlich's choo-choo train.
Oh, Heimlich, oh, no. They should save Heimlich's and go put it somewhere else, because when you ride through that big watermelon, it's just, you know, the true magic.
Yeah, Matthew didn't get to ride it when he went.
Yes, I regret.
And but the scents are shot at you in every direction on that ride.
Oh, yeah.
So what were your thoughts on the Incredicoaster? Because, I mean, you have a very positive outlook on Pixar Place. A lot of stuff online has been kind of, well, you know, it's okay, but nothing great. What about the Incredicoaster? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, whenever people have kind of a down thing to say about something Disney does, I kind of want to be like, okay, well, you go build one then. And
there you go. I like that. It's a good idea.
Come on now. I mean, so, but the Incredicoaster, yeah, people have been kind of hot and cold about it, but I liked it. I thought that it was, the ride is a great ride. It seemed like they'd done something to the ride system to smooth it out a little bit. Before, it was kind of like a chiropractic adjustment, but now it's a little smoother, so I appreciate that. And then they've added a few scenes that are, you know, before and after you hit the roller coaster with Edna, which I love Edna. I think she's great. I work in apparel production, not the like design part, the boring part with costing and fabric and stuff. Yeah. But I just identify with her and I love her so much. And so it was great to see her in a couple scenes with baby Jack that were just delightful. I was in the middle of the coaster. I think I was row 8 or 9 or 10. We were in there somewhere. And so when you're on the coaster and you're going through the tunnels to see the kind of dark ride sequences, if you're in the front of the coaster, I'm sure you can see them all perfectly. If you're in the middle or the back, you don't have as much time to kind of take it in, yeah. But it's still good. I felt like they used the space well. It's fun to see the whole incredible family. And then I think one of our favorite parts was toward the end of the coaster, Jack is multiplying into multiple Jack-Jacks.
Oh, cool.
And they're kind of everywhere on the roofs of the pier. And that was kind of funny. So I liked it. I thought it was good. I hated that coaster before, and I like it now. So,
well, that's good. That's good to hear a positive review. Makes me excited to see Pixar Place in a few years.
Did
Yeah.
Now, was King Triton's carousel on Pixar Pier?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to be Jesse. There's like a big thing on it right now. Or it's like a big, it's not quite a wall. I think it's over the top too, but it says Al's Toy Barn on it. And it's going to be Jesse's Critter Friends or something like that.
That'll be neat.
So
that'll
it's not neat. There yet though.
The,
but all of the snack stands are open. So
that's what's important. That's what's important.
And what about Cove Bar?
Oh yeah. Okay. So Cove Bar, is now Lamplight Lounge. And I've been to Cove Bar plenty of times, and people are obsessed with these nachos that are just, you know, they're fine.
The lobster nachos?
But, yeah, you know, they're good.
I had those.
Nachos are. Oh, you did? You had them?
Yeah, we got to eat there and watch, I can't even remember the
World
name
of Color?
World of Color, yeah. So.
Oh, did you watch, were you there during a holiday or was it normal World
It was
of Color?
November. We were there for Christmas.
Did you see the Neil Patrick Harris version of World of Color?
I did not. It was...
Oh, good. I'm glad.
It was,
that would have been traumatizing.
No, it was Frozen.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, I like that one. Oh, they've kept some of the favorite menu items, which I think was a good choice on their part because there's some things people really like. But I think they were kind of trying to make it gastropub, California casual, which I don't know that that's really a... particular category, but
we live
that are popular. I
here in Middle Tennessee, we live for California casual. Actually, Leah, it's part of our livelihood. To be honest, no, go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know why. I just imagine you guys in like really expensive, like professional fishing gear shirts. You know, in like seasonal colors.
Funny you say that because Derek's actually wearing. No, he's not.
Stop. Derek is not wearing.
He is not. Our friend Josh probably is, though, down at Walt Disney World, but that's another story for another day.
It's hot there, so I suppose it makes sense.
Yes.
But anyway, they've done a lot. The food is good. I think the menu is too short. I mentioned that on an Instagram post, actually. There's only 6 entrees, which I do not think a sit-down restaurant makes. That's just not enough.
Right.
What do you guys think?
If you're going to have that few, they've all really got to be stellar.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that, I mean, I've had like 5 items on the menu, and some of them were very good, and some of them were just, you know, maybe just not for me. They weren't necessarily bad. It just might not have been to my taste. But aside from the menu, which there were a few really standout items, I think the kids' menu is adorable. If people have children, I recommend going there and letting your kids get the kids' menu. They've styled it in a really cute way. They have this one particular children's menu item, and it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but they've built it to look like a sushi roll.
Oh, cool.
Which is kind of fun. Good. And then they also have one dessert that I just have to rave about because it was so good. They have these little donuts that come in this branded box that say Lamplight Lounge. And I was skeptical, but man, they are hot and fresh and not too sweet. I just can't recommend them highly enough.
We will have to add that to our list for when we make
it. And this might be a good time to interject. If you do go to Instagram and follow Consumer Princess, Leah has a whole lot of things about food on there from Disneyland. So if you want that part of it, I mean, there's all kinds of pictures. There's great information. And over 7,000 followers we need to add, too,
yes.
that she has. So lots of good insight on the food, especially at Disneyland.
it's a real milestone, 7,000.
Yes, every day is a milestone. Just a quick question for you. How did you feel about our ride rankings at Walt Disney World? That was a very controversial couple of episodes we had.
Oh, my goodness.
What was your biggest disagreement?
Let me think for a second.
And did you say knowledge? With question mark.
Self-awareness, question mark? Somebody was disputing what was number 25. Who was that last episode?
Winnie the Pooh. The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. That was
Winnie the Pooh. And what were we wanting to? What were you guys want? Somebody was wanting to replace it with something else.
I can't remember. Maybe Small World.
Okay, because I think I deeply agreed with that. I think I felt pretty passionately about moving Winnie the Pooh down the list a little bit.
Yeah, that was.
And
Leah, where would you put Safari if you were ranking that?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, Safari's going to be in my top 15 for sure.
There you go.
And I think it's going to rank, aside from, I think it's going to be my highest Animal Kingdom ride. I rank it above Everest. I love Everest.
See?
I know that's controversial. I don't want to pick fights my first time on the show.
Hey, we're all for it.
But I really do love Kilimanjaro Safari.
So have you been, and I'm sure you have, you've ridden Pandora?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, excuse me. Flight of Passage, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I love the boat ride through the forest. That's all good. We didn't have Fast Pass for Flight of Passage this January.
And
so we were going to wait. No. And we were going to wait in line. And so we kind of did our whole day. And then we actually had lunch at Sanaa over in.
Oh, great choice.
In the hotel. Yes. It was really good. We got the bread.
Oh, yes.
You know, what matters when you go there. So we kind of were like, okay, we've done everything on our list. And we don't have anything to do until dark. And we knew we wanted to be around to see kind of the bioluminescence they kind of do. So we were like, well, we want to be here for dark anyway. So we're just going to wait in a 3-hour line for this ride. And the queue is beautiful. I mean, I was really impressed. I think that it maybe beats out our Indiana Jones queue, which I'm really partial to. But I think that's
impressive.
Yeah, I think it's a tight race between those two. But I was so impressed. And when we toward the end, we were like, "Wow, I hope we haven't made an enormous mistake by doing this," because it had been hours. And then so we went in, rode the ride. And it was funny because our whole ride group in our little room, it was all adults. Like, there were no children.
And oh, wow.
It was all adults. And we were kind of just in a group like, okay, here we go. And I wasn't expecting much. I am not a fan of VR rides. A lot of times they make me really sick. So I was just kind of like, well, this is what we're here for. We're going to do it. Man, we were blown away. People in the room, like adults, were just hooting and hollering and screeching. And when it was over, we all kind of just stood up and looked around at each other, just like strangers, kind of laughing. And they had to make us all leave. We were like, how do we all go on with our lives after this? Like, this experience.
That's what the first time we rode, all three of us, there was people coming off saying, I was crying at the end of it. We're like, what?
We didn't
get that. It was
but
good.
But it was, but yeah, I mean, it's unlike any ride we've ridden.
Right, right.
Well, and I've heard a rumor. Here's one for your gossip.
Oh, good, good. We need some.
Don't tell anybody. I heard that our main attraction in Star Wars Land is going to be one with the same ride system. That's what I heard.
Really?
Ooh.
We have not.
So we're going to have.
So we didn't hear that from you.
No, don't tell anybody. I mean, the internet.
Derek,
keep that
quiet.
Everybody will kind of keep it under their hat.
I've already forgotten what she said.
What are you guys doing tomorrow at the park?
Tomorrow we are getting up super early and rope dropping Hollywood Studios. It opens at 7 a.m. for resort guests, so we're going to go and check out Toy Story Land.
Oh, I'm excited to hear about that. And, are you guys going to talk about that on the pod?
We are. We're going to have a recent trip rundown after we come back. Maybe a couple of episodes where we discuss that. We're also going to have lunch at the Hollywood Brown Derby, which none of us have ever done. So it's going to be a good day. A good day at Hollywood Studios, checking out some of the new stuff, and maybe hit up Magic Kingdom in the afternoon, and then we'll fly home tomorrow night.
And then when we broadcast that, put it on the podcast, we hope to have a special guest with us too.
We do.
But we can't say about that right now.
So we're excited.
More surprises.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Leah, we are so excited that you joined us. You mentioned to us through email that you really enjoyed the Battle Royales and, of course, the ranking systems. And we hope to get into some Battle Royales in the future with you in regards to Disneyland dining, Disneyland rides and shows and other things. So we're...
Oh, yes. You thought our rankings were were spectacular before.
Yeah.
Wait till we go to some place we've only been once.
And Craig's never been.
I've never been. I look forward to ranking all those, Leah.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear you guys' hot takes on all of our different establishments. It's going to be really informative for your listeners. I'm sure for me, I can't wait.
We will infuriate the annual pass holders of Disneyland. They will shun us. I think, guys, for today, what we talked about doing was doing a grim... usually when we have guests on, we ask them several grim grinning greatness questions. But I think today,
okay. We
ask her some of the questions we've asked before, but we ask the Disneyland version of the question.
Oh.
So, Leah, does that sound like something you'd be... a challenge you'd be willing to accept?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's a great honor to be on... So I think I'm ready.
Okay, well, it's time. It's time for a segment we like to call...
the longest running segment. Yes. On Grinning Grinning Guys.
Grinning Grinningness.
Okay, here we go. Derek's got the first question.
I do?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Here, I've got one.
Okay, Craig.
Well, same question I just asked Owl Dog the other day. If you could take one ride from Disneyland and put it in your backyard, what would it be?
And it has to fit in the property.
And we don't have any idea where you live.
No, we don't.
You could live in a condo, and that would be tough to do, but we're just asking.
And it's from Disneyland, right? Not Disney World.
Disneyland.
Disneyland.
That I would... Oh, this is going to be controversial. I think that I would put our big terrible treehouse in my backyard, so I don't have to walk around it anymore when I'm trying to get the tires.
So she's helping others.
Yeah, how selfless of you.
That is very thoughtful.
We didn't give any thought to anybody else.
Good. No, Tarzan's treehouse is a mess. They need to take that thing down.
I didn't get to experience that one. I
enjoyed it.
You liked it. Well, good.
You liked it?
I did.
I feel like it's a trap for people who don't know quite where they're going, and they get herded up there.
That's Derek.
Well, that could have happened.
Oh. He just went up there so he could look down on people.
That's
the whole reason he was up there. Oh, look at them down there.
Oh,
well.
Oh, my
what?
My favorite part of the show is when you guys zing Derek, I think.
We haven't done that enough lately.
And you know what, Leah? He has been very nice today. I don't know.
He has been. He's on a nice streak as of late.
I am. I've been several episodes now.
Man.
We've had a listener mention something about that.
Sorry.
I think that Derek just recognizes me as like a fellow food aficionado, somebody who really has an opinion. I feel like we kind of are on the same level.
That's it.
Definitely are.
No, I didn't. I didn't get to enjoy as much of these as I would have liked when I went to Disneyland. So what is your favorite snack at Disneyland?
Okay. Snack. I know that snack is kind of broad for you guys. I've heard like
kitchen sink
by someone over there. let me think. No, you know what? I'm going to stick. I'm going to say Dole Whip Float.
She's a classic.
Because I'm just artsy like that and hip. So Dole Whip Float. But only if they've got the umbrella and the cherry. If they've run out, then that's it for me, because I can't take a photo of it then.
Got to have the photo.
And I'll just give mine. Mine was the Matterhorn Macaroon.
Oh, that one is good. I actually have only had it a couple times, and every time I got it, I thought it was going to be really dense. And then it was a lot fluffier than I had anticipated.
It is.
So I think that's a good choice.
And I brought a couple home for Matthew, but I think I ate them.
I never saw those. Never did. Thanks a lot, Derek. Just one more for you, because as we said, we'll hopefully be asking you a lot more of these in the future. What's one character that you would love to meet in the parks that is not really offered? If you could pick one Disney character to meet which one would it be?
And can I ask a question before you answer that? What, again, not being to Disneyland before, are there different characters that you don't see at Disney World that are at Disneyland?
They're more free at Disneyland.
I think that they're more regularly available in Walt Disney World. And we have a lot of the same ones that you guys have in Walt Disney World. But we do have, like, the fairies and stuff that come out more often. And then we have some kind of more vintage characters that pop out from time to time. But I have always... We have a lot of... I don't know if this is in Walt Disney World, too. I feel like when I was there, there were a lot of characters in particular places. Like, Mickey Mouse is on Main Street, and all the princesses are in Fairy Tale thing. Our characters, a lot of them roam. They just kind of wander, and you will find them. And you're not allowed to, like, stop them or anything, but you can kind of walk and interact. But I've never gotten to meet the Tremaine sisters in person.
Hmm.
And I would love to get to chat with them, because... they come to our Halloween party a lot, and you'll see them during that holiday. But every time I've seen them, they've been kind of coming on or off stage, and so I haven't gotten to chat with them. But, you know, the Tremaine sisters, the evil stepsisters, I think they'd be the most fun for me to meet.
Awesome. Well, again, we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to chatting with you again sometime in the near future to discuss more about Disneyland. And perhaps even embark on another battle royale. So, Leah, thank you for joining us today.
I can't wait. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Well, listeners, we thank you for tuning in. And as always, please share your feedback with us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or send us an email. We'd love to hear your show ideas. If you'd like to share with us a recent trip rundown, we'd like to hear that as well. But guys, if that's all,
over 13,000 downloads, keep it going.
That's right. We appreciate it.
Keep following us and keep telling others to keep downloading and spread the news.
And as you leave, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts
and hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.